are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Judges chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, "Then she, being Delilah, said to him, being Samson, 'How can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies.' It came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death." Thank God for a godly wife and a godly woman in your life. Amen. Come on, all the brothers, say amen. And if you're thinking about getting married, get married to a godly woman, not a dripping tap. Because a dripping tap will drive you to the wilderness. Bible says better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than to live under one roof with a nagging woman. Well, it's very quiet in this Presbyterian church right now, okay? I'm not talking to CRC girls here. I'm just saying don't marry. If she's giving you a hard time before you get married, you don't want to get married to her. If she's pestering you, whatever. And he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb." Really? He was called to be a Nazarite, but he never honored the vow of a Nazarite. Never lived the life that God wanted him to live. "If I'm shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistine. "Come up once more, for she has told me all his heart," or "he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her, brought the money in their hand, and then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. Again, don't date a tormenting girl. Where are you? 3 minutes later, what are you doing? 2 minutes later, who are you with? Why aren't you replying? Well, I'm in a business meeting. Well, his strength left him, and she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at the other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Imagine the picture of this mighty man of God that is called to be a mighty deliverer on behalf of God for the people of God. Because of one act of disobedience, he finds himself not only in a prison, but blinded. No vision, no sight, no hope for the future, and he's grinding away at a mill, being imprisoned. The very people he was called to subdue have now subdued him, and they've taken everything from him that they could take from him. Let me make it very clear to everybody in this place, I don't fear the devil, but the devil is real. And you better believe tonight that Satan is a trophy hunter. The greater God's calling upon your life, the greater the attack of the devil to stop you from discovering who God called you to be. That's why the Bible says you better be sober. You better be vigilant. You better watch your relationships, because Samson's destiny is hijacked by a long-legged woman dressed in black. Dressed in black, dressed in black, dressed in black, black, black. She's a long-legged woman swaying her hips. Dressed in black, dressed in black, dressed. She's a long-legged woman rolling her eyes. Powerful as you are, you better watch the wrong girl, or the wrong voice, or the wrong seducing spirit that will rob you from everything that God has placed in your life and leave you blind, leave you a prisoner, leave you grinding away around a mill. Somebody say, praise God. Say, my hair is growing. Amen. And so is mine. Verse 22, the Bible says, however, I love the however in the Bible, the but from God's side, the hair on his head began to grow again after he'd been shaven. The Lord of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. So it happened when the hearts were merry that Samson, that they said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison. He performed for them, and they stationed him between the pillars. And Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed, mocking the child of God, mocking the one that is grinding away, not living in victory. Then Samson called to the Lord, hallelujah, saying, O Lord God, remember me. I pray, strengthen me. I pray just this once that I may, with one blow, take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And we know God grants him his request. Verse 30 of the Bible says, Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed in his death were more than he had killed in his life. Father, you told me to share this word, whoever it's for, have your way, arrest that heart. May the name of Jesus be glorified. Thank you that you're a God of another chance and new beginning, that things will be different for many people from this night, in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that the rest of your life potentially can be the best of your life. Are you listening to me? The rest of your life potentially can be, I want to qualify, the rest of your life will be the best of your life. The rest of your life potentially will be the best of your life. The latter part of your life can be greater than the former part of your life. Listen to me, every pastor, don't be distracted. I want to tell you tonight that God has not abandoned you. God has not forsaken you. This is a word for many of you tonight. That which God has predestined for you, God will accomplish in you and through you. Bible says in Romans chapter 2, the gift and the calling of God are without repentance. I want to tell you tonight that God is a merciful God. I want to tell you tonight that if you will cry unto God one more time, that God will deliver you from your captivity and God will restore everything the devil stole from your life. Somebody say amen and give the Lord a praise in Jesus' name. I'm here to tell somebody that God is going to give you a second go at it. That God is going to cause you to run one more time, that you are going to accomplish more in the latter part of your life than in your whole life put together. What is dead will come alive. What is barren will produce fruit. What is broken will be mended. What is delayed will be released. No matter where you are, no matter why you feel you're in a prison or why you are grinding away around the mill, I don't care. Samson, we see a mighty man of God, an anointed man of God. I don't see Samson as this scrawny little man going nowhere. I see him as a mighty man, a thoroughbred man, a powerful man in the flesh, but also in the spirit. He knew exactly who he was. But he disobeyed his God. He was called to live as a Nazarite. Raised from his mother's womb under a Nazarite vow, which meant three things. Number one, touch not dead bodies, or do not touch what is unclean. Do not allow yourself to become polluted or defiled by what this world has. The Bible still says we have to possess our bodies. Amen. We still have to be the gatekeepers of our soul, the gatekeepers of our bodies, the gatekeepers of our relationships. We still have to decide that this is holy ground. Yes, when the holy touches what is unholy, I become holy. But then I better be sure that everything else that touches me is holy as well. Say a big amen and give the Lord a praise. Come on, young person. Second part of the vow was you were not allowed to drink alcohol. Bible says wine is a mocker. Now, I'm not legalistic when it comes to wine, but you don't want wine to be your master. Somebody says, Pastor, I don't drink a lot, but when I drink, I turn into another person, and that person can drink. I'm in the world, but not of the world. I'm not going to go Shake it, 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 whatever. Shake it like everybody else. Amen. I'm not going to shake it and lose myself. Because I'm a child of God. I'm different. By grace, yes. But now grace has given me a new identity. So in the new covenant, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Come on, young person. My mind is the gateway of God into my spirit. So I have to preserve myself. I not touch what is unclean. It's not a law. It's protecting what God gave you. Touch not what is unclean. Samson, he violated all three of them. Touch not what is unclean. Do not touch dead bodies. Do not be given to alcohol. And then do not shave your hair. Do not waste your time on unnecessary things for us today. Don't get caught up with the small things and miss the big one who is God in your life. So Samson, who is this mighty warrior, seduced. Just say this to you, when the enemy comes to hunt you, I mean, he doesn't come like the devil we saw in the comic strips when we were small, this red little devil with a pitchfork. And neither does he come like Dracula all dressed in black. No, he comes through the long-legged woman dressed in black. He comes through the man with a husky voice. Hey, babe. Babe, I need you. Babe, I need you. I've been thinking about you all week. What you doing on Friday? Are you lonely tonight? I mean, she lulled him. Think about it. I mean, he was vulnerable. That's why relationships are maybe the number one place that the enemy exploits to trip people up and to rob them of what God has intended for them. And if you can steal your vision, like they took Samson's eyes, removed his eyes from his body, he lost vision, lost natural sight. But we know the Bible says where there's no vision, people perish. So Satan will patiently try to distract you, derail you, and connect you. And it's not always a romantic relationship. It can be a relationship of corruption. It can be a relationship of deceit. It can be a relationship of bribery. It can be a relationship that seduces you away from your first love, from Christianity. It can be a relationship that is birthed in offense. It can be a voice that suddenly or over a period of time wears you down to get you to lose who God called you to be. And here's the sad thing. Samson was in church, but he had disconnected from God. He didn't even know it. He thought he was okay, but he had disconnected. He lost the source of his power. A lot of people are tempting things that are not working, and they don't know why. Because they've lost their cloak. They've lost the source of their anointing. They have disconnected because of a seducing voice. You better listen to me. Maybe one of the strongest voices in the kingdom of God is the voice of offense. A wife picks up an offense, the husband becomes offended as well, and a whole generation is enslaved. The children get offended, the grandchildren get offended, and instead of a generational blessing like Timothy in the Bible, we have people, because of offense, disconnect from the house of God, disconnect from the plan of God. I want to say this again to every beautiful young person in this place, there in Bloemfontein, in Cape Town, in Johannesburg. The devil would do like nothing more than to have your head in his trophy cabinet, to have your scalp on his wall, and to have a party whenever he sees you, that you were loose, but now you are bound again, just like Satan. I want to tell you, we need a holy aggression, a holy passion in us, that we will never go back. Come on. We will never go back where we've come from. The devil will never have the final say in our lives, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We were prisoners, but now we are free. We were slaves, but now we are sons and daughters of the living God. Oh, come on, somebody. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. In this place tonight. Come on. I mean, think about it. He's in a safe place. I mean, up to this time, he had been with many prostitutes. But this one was different. This one was after his heart. Watch out for what is wrestling for your heart. Because there's a lot of things that will defile the outer man, not your heart. Whoever has your heart will determine your vision. She took his heart. It wasn't about the hair. It was about the covenant he had with God, that he had to protect that which God gave him, that which was sacred. And for you and me, that which is sacred is our relationship with Jesus Christ. What is holy, what is sanctified, what should be protected at all costs is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Come on, give this wonderful Jesus a praise offering. And oh, come on. Come on in the name. Make the devil mad. So he thinks he's okay, but he's not. The girl goes on a date. She thinks she's safe, but she's not. Everybody that got themselves in trouble always said, I never thought this could happen to me. There's not one person that self-destructed and said, I woke up one morning deciding to self-destruct. Not one person. So the Bible says more than anything, we have to guard our hearts. We have to treasure the gift that we have received, which is the presence of God more than anything else. So if you're a young, beautiful girl sitting here, or a young, beautiful girl sitting over there, and you've given yourself to the Lord, and your friends come on a Friday night and they say, let's go down there, and you just know it's not right, then don't listen to those seductive voices. Because oftentimes it will be through people closest to you that will try and get inside of you, because there's a spirit working through that person to get to your heart, to capture what God gave you. Come on, to bind that which God gave you, to stop what God can potentially do through you. That's why you better be smart. It was Rick Godwin said, you can read any book about success, 7 steps to success, 1 dumb step to ruin and destruction. Amen. Now remember, God loved Samson. Samson had nothing to do with the call of God. The measure of God's grace was upon Samson, even in his insanity. But it was this one thing, the last thing that was the source of his strength, that he yielded, that he gave. But here's the good news tonight. His hair began to grow while he was grinding away at that prison. Come on. While he was a captive, while he was playing for the lords of the Philistines, the mercy of God intervened, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the God of love, it caused his hair to grow again. I'm here to tell you tonight that God's never going to give you up. God's never going to quit on you. God's never going to turn his back on you. No matter how foolish you are, God will put his hand on you. God will breathe upon you one more time, and your hair will grow again. You will run again in the name of Jesus, and you will be everything that God says you can be. Shout hallelujah if you believe it tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. A lot of people grinding away around and around and around, wasting away. And they're looking for ways to get out. And really, there's one way. Samson turned back to God in his darkest hour. He didn't play the blame game. He said, God, be merciful to me just one more time. Can you pray that tonight? Can you believe tonight? Can you abandon all? I'm sure if you interviewed Samson afterwards, he said, if I only knew what Delilah's plan was, but I felt safe, I felt secure, I felt okay. If only I knew. I don't think Delilah even knew. Like Judas, who betrayed Jesus, didn't even know. That's why Judas hung himself. He never knew that Jesus would be crucified, that it was satanic powers behind the people who wanted to crucify Jesus Christ. The Bible says, had the princes of this world, the lords of darkness known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because in crucifying Jesus Christ, he defeated the devil. Satan's master plan, or Satan's plan, turned out to be God's master plan. Come on, he defeated the devil. So I'm going to tell you that God's going to turn your situation around. What was meant for evil, God's going to turn around for good. All you've got to do is get back up again. Run back to your Father's house. Get right with God and let the Spirit of God and grace and mercy come upon you again. And then the latter part of your life will be greater than the former part of your life. Because that's the God that we serve. Not a God who expects us to wallow in the mud, but a God who surely expects that sometime, somewhere, you have to wake up to the fact that you are wasting away. You are grinding around and around from relationship to relationship, looking for Mr. Right or looking for Miss Right, from job to job, from situation to situation, from party to party, from church to church. You are going around and around and around and around and around the same mountain, wasting away, losing yourself. No sight, no vision. But God wants to breathe on you again. And I believe tonight that the breath of God's going to come upon many of you, and that your hair is going to grow again, that God's going to revive your spirit, God's going to renew your strength, God's going to pick you up and put you on your feet again. You're going to have clarity of purpose again in your life. You're going to run stronger than ever before, because when God touches you, you cannot stay where you were. Because God is working in you both to will and do His good pleasure. So He's a merciful God. Samson cried out to God. God hurt him. But even before he cried out, his hair began to grow. The reason that you are yet tonight, God's already working in you. A new season, a new day, a new beginning is what God wants to give you. Listen to me tonight. God knows why you are grinding. Whether it's a result of what you did, a result of what other people did, a demonic attack against your life, circumstances. God sees you grinding away, and He cares about you. He wants to help you. He has seen you. He has heard your cry, and He's come to answer you tonight. Hear me clearly, that God is with you, even in that prison, that God is for you, even in your darkest hour, that God is working in you when you don't think, and that God will work through you. I announce to you tonight that things are going to change in your life if you will draw closer to God. The issue is not what brought you to the mill. The issue is how you will go away from the mill. The issue is not why you are blind tonight. The issue is how to see your sight restored. The issue is not why you are hopeless tonight. The issue tonight is how to get hope back in your heart. The issue is not that you feel weak tonight. The issue is tonight how to get your strength back so you can run this race and be the mighty man, the mighty woman that God called you to be. Be the businessman, the sportsman, the entertainer, come on, the teacher, the leader that God called you to be. So Samson turns to God and he finds God waiting. Just think about this. I mean, under the old covenant, we see the mercy of God. I mean, the whole Bible is full of the mercy of God. That's why the Bible says He is merciful. Mercy means God's willingness and God's ability to treat you better than you deserve. But sometimes what is lacking is that honest turning back to God. People will rather grind away, sometimes grind away in religion, grind away in activity, because they feel they're in control. And nothing is working. They're trying, they're working, they're slogging. And then they began to formulate reasons why they are there. I mean, think of the regret that Samson could have lived with. Why did I ever tell her? I held out for so long. First I told her this, then I told her that, then I told her, why did I ever do this? What thoughts could have tormented him? But God was merciful, because living in yesterday will not change tomorrow. Living in the place of regret will not fill your heart with hope for tomorrow. The mistakes of yesterday do not define who you are today and will not determine what you can accomplish tomorrow. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. You are defined by God. You are defined by the blood of Jesus Christ today. You are defined not as a slave, no matter what you have done, but you are defined as a son, as a daughter of God. Tonight you can get up and you can receive fresh oil, a new anointing, to get away from that prison, away from that mill, and to go be that mighty man, that businessman, that person that God calls you to be. Shout a big amen if you believe it tonight. Come on. I mean, I love it. In the final day of Samson, he did more than in his entire life, all the exploits. So we have to believe the best is yet to come. The rest of my life will be the best of my life, because surely after hearing this, I'm not going to stay foolish and stay seduced and stay attached to the wrong place that have stolen my heart from the right place. I'm not going to stay in something that has seduced me, that very one thing that is keeping me from what God has for me, the greatest stuff. Surely nobody can be that foolish or that stubborn. Guaranteed, when Samson, if he could, If he never died, he would not go back to Delilah.
Pray this with all your heart right now. Say, Jesus, I give myself back to you. You died for my sin in my place. I believe with all my heart you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. I need you, Jesus. I open my heart and I invite you, Jesus, to take your rightful place. I belong to you. I give myself back to you. You are my Lord and Savior. I boldly declare it. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. From today, I will follow you. I surrender all to you. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sin. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you that I'm a child of God forever. Nothing can change that. Thank you for your blood, Jesus, that seals salvation to my spirit forever. I'm yours. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.